You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This hour, by the way, folks, I'm going to be speaking to two independent political analysts as we enjoy a conversation across the desk. That is what the feature is called, Across the Desk. And I'm going to be speaking to Sanusha Naidu, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue, together with Dr. Kagiso Puwe, Senior Lecturer at the Wits School of Governance, as we look at the week that was, perhaps the last few weeks that were politically in the country. I posed the question about what happened in eThekwini yesterday, where we saw Mxolisi Kaunda become the ANC's mayor in eThekwini, when there was a widespread expectation that power would shift in that particular municipality from the ANC either to the IFP or the DA. And it didn't happen that way, even in the context of the unrest that we saw on Monday, the disturbance of proceedings at that first municipal meeting, where people believed that this would be the nail on the coffin, on the ANC's coffin. And of course, we are hearing this morning from the IFP and to a certain extent the DA that it became that way because of bribes. That certain smaller parties were bribed to vote in favor of the ANC. And I asked that question earlier on as to whether or not there is any credence, in your opinion, to those allegations. And if indeed there is credence to those allegations, is it not the responsibility of those that are making those accusations to bring it out in the open so that we can deal with the corruption, deal with the issues raised in that way? And Dr. Leslie Seth Kapola sent me a message on Twitter saying, what gives credence to the allegations of bribes is the fact that the sitting was initially scheduled on Monday, and realizing that the numbers were not on their side, the ANC then collapsed the meeting to buy more time to engage other parties, right? He continues to say that what is strange is that yesterday's meeting was a contribution of the collapsed meeting. However, the ANC was allowed to alter the submitted names of councillors to serve on EXCO, which is a clear indication that the Monday meeting was collapsed, says Dr. Leslie Seth Kapola on Twitter. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. And what other issues do you think need to be brought to the fore around the municipal election results, the takeover of the metros here in Gauteng, at least by the DA, not with their full consent? Who's in charge? I'm told that Julius Malema of the EFF will be giving a press conference come midday today to give clarity on some of the issues around who, in fact, is the leader behind the decision to support the DA in Gauteng. And what can we expect of the coalitions that are being formed? Are they going to provide us with sustainable leadership, or are we going to be having motions of no confidence at every single turn, every single chamber meeting at the various municipalities? So much to talk about as I talk to Sanusha Naidu and Kagiso Puwe, both of them independent political analysts, for their insights, for their understandings of the current political landscape. Looking forward to this conversation. It's 13 minutes after 11 o'clock. When I come back, I'd love to have you also join in that conversation on 011-883-0702, straight after.
702.
Add your voice.
Have your say.
Let's walk the talk.
Indeed, join us as we have this conversation about the political landscape of South Africa following the elections that we participated in. Well, at least many of us did, on the 1st of November. Yeah. And the results that followed that process. I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts as I speak to Sanusha Naidu, political analyst with the Institute for Global Dialogue. Sanusha, thank you very much for joining us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Aubrey, and thank you for the invitation.
Much appreciated.
And to my colleague from the School of Governance.
Indeed, Kagiso Puwe. Thank you very much, Dr. Kagiso Puwe, Senior Lecturer at the Wits School of Governance. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Aubrey, and good morning to Sanisha as well.
Let me start with you, Dr. Bue. The topical issue at the moment, amongst all of the other things that we are going to talk about, is the eThekwini municipal leadership issue, where we saw Mxolisi Kaunda become the mayor. Some people suggesting, including those members of the IFP and the DA, that there were bribes there. And I suppose it has something to do with the fact that on Monday we saw chaos erupt at that municipality. Would you believe those allegations?
Well, look, this is where, when it comes to legalities, I try to defer to people with evidence. And yeah. I think that that's always a healthy way to go there, because if you don't have that, then we cast suspicion. So let's just work out two scenarios. If there was bribery, I think evidence needs to be shown for that. But secondly, I think maybe the second one is more interesting, which is to say, if the logic is that, listen, the only reason X political party turned on and went into the side of the ANC, then we need to maybe question all the other coalitions, or what they don't call them coalitions, they call them maybe
agreements.
Agreements, marriages of inconvenience.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe then we'd have to look at all of this. That's why I don't want to go down that route. A better route to maybe go, and I think you started the show off with this, to actually make a determination of where do we stand in regards to what is happening. Because I think that for me is a healthier way to determine how things are.
Yeah.
So rather than saying, let's refocus on this issue of corruption. If there was, we pray that law enforcement and everything else takes it really starts to work. But I'd rather look at it this way and say, listen, where do we stand as cities and as the republic post these agreements and the state of politics in South Africa?
Interested to entertain that dimension of the conversation, Dr. Bue. Let me ask Sanusha, if indeed the allegations of bribery that are leveled against the ANC in eThekwini are anything to go by, isn't it the responsibility of the IFP and the DA to prove or to provide evidence of that kind of malfeasance, Sanusha?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's one thing to say that there has been a suspicions of bribe, corruption, or brown envelopes being exchanged. But I think what you really need to do is go through the process of unearthing it, shining that, opening up the space and saying that this is the evidence I got. Because it's one thing to make a statement, and a statement of that nature, which is quite intense and has all kinds of implications, not least the optics, but then also back it up with some level of, back the allegations up with some level of empirical evidence. Because I think it's an easy way to say that I'm not saying that it hasn't happened. I'm not saying it did not happen or it has happened. Because there's very little evidence for us to see whether or not there is the sense to say that, there was corruption, there was malfeasance that took place there was gerrymandering where the election was manipulated for the mayor and the deputy mayor based on how these dynamics unfolded behind the scenes. A lot of intense political dimensions take place behind the scenes. And let me not trivialize it as well, because I don't think we must trivialize it, given the fact that in South Africa, corruption is very front and center in the political body of the state. And in the way that we've seen the unearthing of state capture, questions of tender fraud, issues around rent-seeking behavior, patronage networks, and so forth. But I do think that it has to be backed up in terms of where the evidence is. If you do have the evidence, if you don't have the evidence, or you don't know that you can produce the evidence, then I think that changes the dynamic of what the political play is all about. But having said that as well, I think now the question is, how do these councils, particularly those that have been caught in these kinds of allegations, but also those that have now very fragile governing councils going forward, the executive is very fragile. How do they actually get down to the real task at hand? And that is governing the councils, making sure those councils are governable, running well, and addressing the issues that those councils need to address. And that's the first port of call here, is sitting down and thinking about the budget, understanding what the budget means. And I think also most importantly, how do these different actors now that the DA was forced to take on the mayoral position in Johannesburg and so forth, how do they actually sit down and form their MAKO? Mm. And I think the MAKO is very important as well in having that kind of, I wouldn't say they'll always coalesce, but just come to some kind of meeting of the minds.
Or 1-888-307-02. Let's hear your thoughts about the Etegwini situation. Do you think there were bribes involved? And if so, why? And if indeed there were, as the IFP and the DA assert, why are they not giving us the evidence for that that allegation? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Dr. Boer, let's look at the context. Let's look at the meta narrative, as it were. We have the elections take place on the 1st of November, but they happen within a particular context of an ANC that is trying to find itself, that is trying to create some level of unity, that is going through major internal battles. The same can be said for the Democratic Alliance, that is going through major issues of identity for itself as a party, has scored many, many own goals, unprovoked rookie mistakes, as it were, and EFF that is on an upward trajectory. Politically speaking, but that didn't do as well as they thought they would do, given, I suppose, the bravado, the rhetoric that you saw, the meetings that were taking place at the time. And, of course, all of the issues around the IEC and the registration of candidates all the time. What do you make of the result of the 1st of November, the political action of voting of after the elections of the 1st of November? Can we start there?
All right. No, for me, three things, I think, as you put it, as narratives for me have developed. The first one is voters, or even potential voters, have got to the point where it's no longer about the options that are available. It's what they're looking for is the options that seem to not exist. And by that, I mean, if you look at the people who didn't register, because that's another thing we seem to forget, those people that did register, but they just chose not to vote. That's a huge number. If I'm not mistaken, the number is actually more than the people that actually voted. And for me, that's the biggest story. That we are at a juncture where people literally know that what they don't want, which is clearly these political parties. But then it then moves to maybe my second narrative, which is to say, in the absence of an alternative to what's currently happened, what are citizens going to do? And I always make the distinction between local and national government elections, which I think is not always made too clearly. And I'm hoping that we can actually make that.
Yeah.
And the issue, the reason I'm developing the second narrative is we need to start asking, how do we get ourselves as citizens, that this is an all of us type of situation, involved in processes of governance? Because local government, in theory, if you read Chapter 7 of the South African Constitution, and if you look at the way things are set up, you're supposed to have things called ward committees where you and I are supposed to participate.
Mm.
So I'm beginning to believe that the alternative to what we currently have in these political parties is for us to build a way to actually participate more in local government, to actually hold people more accountable
yeah.
as to what is happening.
Yeah.
And I think proof of what I'm saying is if you see places like Bushbuck Ridge, if you see places like Mahikeng, where there's a lot of community build-up and community organization. For me, I've always said, if South Africa is to work, South Africa will work when we have better forms of governance at local levels, where communities are involved. So for me, that's the first two things. And then the third one is the reality of the limitations of political parties. I know that I think the narrative you put out, you know, by saying the ANC is in crisis, but my counsel to be, the ANC has always been in crisis for the last two decades. If you look at how they've been handling themselves and how they've been handling government. The DA's crisis began, I think it's an existential one. By that I mean the DA tried to experiment with, let's be honest, a darker version of South African citizens, because that's the only way the DA is going to get into power in South Africa in the long run, if they acclimatize their political philosophy to the majority of the population. It would seem as though that did not work out. And like you said, they don't know how to quite deal with it. So what they simply did was to say, we're going to go back to a Tony Leon type of politics, which is we look at our core constituency. But what you found with the core constituency is they seem to be more comfortable going to the Freedom Front Plus, which is a narrative which I think we should also maybe explore later on. And then it comes to the EFF. And this is why I make there's a distinction between local and national government. At a national level, the EFF is on an upward trajectory. The votes tell you that. But if you look at it at local government level, this is a party, as you said, that went into these local government elections stating, we are going to get a municipality outright, not what they took in Metsi Mahulo. properly outright. This did not happen, which really raises a question. For all this bravado and for all this, I think a lot of the media narrative, which is sometimes very positive of the EFF, who's actually more controlled? The EFF, the IFP, or a party like the NFP? Because I can point to the NFP and the IFP holding municipalities outright. I can't point to that for the EFF. So maybe there's also a time to where we need to start looking deep into what does the EFF actually mean?
Yeah.
So those are the three narratives.
Very interesting.
Come up with.
Very interesting. And with that whole question around who's in charge, perhaps we need to ask that same question around what happened in the Gauteng province with regards to Action SA and the EFF giving their votes to the DA. Who's actually in charge? Is it the DA? Is it the EFF and Action SA? It's a question that I'd like for you to join me to answer. Mark is in Centurion. You've got some thoughts on that, Mark.
Yes, hi, Aubrey. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Mark.
Not good evening, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Look, what I think personally, I think we need this very quickly. I think the ABM got a deal, and I think their leader said so. Now that he's deputy mayor, he said he went to the DA and he wanted to get a seat on Exco. The DA said no, so he quickly decided to vote, and he votes with the ANC. And whether you want to call it a bribe with money or you want to call it a bribe with a seat, now that he said, now I'm a member of Exco and I'm now deputy mayor, now he's happy. And it was all about him. It wasn't about doing the right thing in service delivery. It was all about him getting a seat. And obviously, that's why he changed his vote.
Right.
If you want to call it bribery or corruption, call it what you want. He obviously was coerced to change his vote. That's the first thing.
Well, you understand, though, that there's more specificity there in the sense that the allegation is that money changed hand. So it doesn't really matter what I call it. The allegation, though, is that money changed hand.
Well, I mean, I don't think that people will exchange receipts for money being handed over. I mean, whether true or not, but a lot of allegations get made all across the political spectrum and other issues that we mentioned towards the DA, what they might have done without proof. Yes or no, I don't know. Look, everybody, you know, will perceive it in a different way. I certainly believe that what happened from Monday and what you said correctly and what happened yesterday are two different things. And the ANC definitely collapsed the meeting on Monday to give them maybe more time. Anyway, look, the general consensus was the DA IFP would win, but they didn't. Obviously, something has changed. Everybody must make up their own mind what ultimately happened. But secondly, what I wanted to say, everybody says, yeah, the EFF and maybe to a certain degree the Action SA might be in charge, actually really being charged in Gauteng. I think it's actually the other way around. I mean, the DA and Action SA, if what I'm led to believe, if there was no official agreement, ultimately voted for the DA,
yeah.
First of all, because they were maybe the lesser evil, number one. And then secondly, I think deep down they know if it comes to governance, etc., they might be the best equipped. I don't think anybody will say that the DA is necessarily the most perfect party, but they're certainly the level of governance compared to everybody else is obviously on a higher level than everybody else. Now,
Mark, I've got to stop you there. I've got to stop you there. We've got to take the news. Mark and Centurion. Sanusha, when I come back, I do want to ask you that question about who actually is in charge. Who, you know, people are saying that the DA has been given office and not power. Who really then has the power? And can we expect, after these kinds of settlements, some level of decent, predictable governance and service delivery? As Sanusha Naidu will join me straight after that.
Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
Rilo Mabotja has just joined me in the studio. Wow, excited to see you back, man. Are you well?
You're the only one who hasn't greeted me properly yet.
How? What must
the
I
only one. Ke gona gugwa.
O ka ntse sanso re ke dire fa. There's a thing called COVID nowadays, and if I...
No, I never said a hug. Oh. Give a festive welcome, you know?
All right.
I want to...
Happy!
It's so good to see you,
it's
Aubrey.
It's good to see you, man. It's good to have you back on the platform.
Yes.
That infectious Rilebogile Mabotja laugh.
It's so much pressure. Everyone keeps talking about that laugh. And I'm like, guys, sometimes I have nothing to laugh about. Like today, though, I have a lot to be happy about.
Yeah.
I had my first shower in 10 days because we didn't have water. So you remember there were the interruption situation.
Yes.
And then something happened in our complex. So when everybody got water back, we didn't, and we only fixed it yesterday. So I had 10 days of bathing. Yo!
Oh, yo.
But today, tell
me what's on the show.
Coming up on the show, we've got our mental health clip. And then for 16 days of activism, we're talking National Shelter Movement of South Africa with Dr. Zubeida Dango. And that's going to be an interesting conversation, just looking at something a little bit different. And then we've got Wendy Nola with our consumer rights feature. She always brings something interesting to the show, so make sure you tune in.
It's so good to see you, and welcome back again. And I know you'll have something to laugh about, and I always enjoy your laugh. Much appreciated. And we continue with our conversation with Sanusha Naidu and Kagiso Puo, both independent political analysts. Dr. Kagiso Puo is senior lecturer at the Wits School of Governance, and of course, Sanusha Naidu, political analyst with the Institute for Global Dialogue. We are, I suppose, reviewing the elections that took place on the 1st of November, the results of the elections, the unexpected results of the elections in many ways. And Sanusha, I need to ask you this question we started developing before the break and the news. Who's in charge in Gauteng? Some people are suggesting that, yes, while the DA has the power, I mean the office, in that it has all three mayor positions and speaker positions in the big three metros, including, by the way, Mogale City. They may have the positions, but they don't have the power. Who's in charge? The EFF, Action SA? How do they come into the picture?
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite a difficult one to disaggregate, because I think when you come to the question of who actually now gets to push the policies, get to push the voting, this is where the complications and complexities tend to arise. So particularly because you may have the mayoral position, but these are not quite wins in terms of, like you saw in the Western Cape, even though the DA declined in the Western Cape, it was still an outright win for the DA with their mayoral candidate, Jordan Hill-Lewis. And then you saw how he put forward his MAKO and what he thought were key areas for his term in office as the mayor of the city, talking about key areas and so forth. This is where the watching brief comes in, Aubrey, because at the end of the day, the question is, there are certain things on that budget, certain things when people have to start deciding who's going to be the safety and security individual, who's going to take that position, who's going to take this position. How much of that's going to be complicated in terms of whether or not, you know, the DA is going to push this now and say, well, we've got the power because we've got the mayoral chain in this city, and we are able to push this. The EFF and Action SA will say, hang on, you didn't want this. You are a reluctant actor in all of this. In fact, if you listen to the DA leader, John Steenhuis, talking and addressing media in different platforms, he keeps talking about these coalitions not being based on quid pro quo, or these agreements that have been based on quid pro quo. So the DA is quite reluctant, because they didn't really, you know, their position was, we don't mind being sitting in the opposition benches in these councils. But right now they're in those offices. And the challenge for them would be, to what extent are they going to extend out and say to the EFF and Action SA and any other political party that has supported their candidacy in the city of Johannesburg, in Ekurhuleni, as well as in Mogale City and elsewhere, how are you going to go about and say to these other actors, other political stakeholders in the council, you know what, we're going to actually work with you on this. We want to bring you into the council, into the MAKO, into the executive. That, for me, I think, is where a lot of the challenges lie in terms of how political parties, for me, in this election, have looked at elections and winning elections in a winner-take-all context. And now we are sitting in a different context, in a political context where the winner-take-all is not necessarily happening. It's fragmenting. And if you take the case of the city of Johannesburg, you take the council, you see what the EFF and Action SA did. I mean, it was astounding for me personally, because I think what they did was they said, well, you don't want it, we're going to compel you to take it. And so they gave it to them irrespective to the DA. So the DA now has to sit and think, how much more are we going to realign with ourselves? Do we stick to the federal exec and what the federal exec tells us to do? Do we stick to this line if we won't work with the EFF? So the power dynamic in these councils are going to be very important in terms of whether or not they align about what is key to make these councils work. And I think what my colleague TK was saying is in terms of, you know, the community-based approach is really important, because this top-down approach of we know what's best for these communities. You know, there was a council or a municipality, and I forget the name right now, but where they had a clean audit by the Auditor General, and it was run by, I'm not sure which political party, the PA, I'm not sure. The
other. Oh, under Baloyi, out in... the young mayor, Midvaal, that's the place, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, these issues of clean audits, etc., don't necessarily resonate if the experience of the electorate, the voter, is not congruent, it's not aligned. And so this can actually be where you have the DA and all these other political parties have to be aware that it's not about just, you know, let's just get the clean audit. It's also about the delivery of the services, the delivery of the budget in terms of how you need to address, you know, what was said just now by your colleague, you know, having this water crisis and the fact that the water never came on because you have such a decaying infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah. Kaki, so the complexity and the possible inertia, in other words, the possibility of no movement because of the stalemate that may be created by the misalignment of values, the idea that the DA has the chain but doesn't have the power, because obviously, in order to have budgets agreed upon, they've all got to get the right numbers. And that may not happen, as some people have suggested. Is this what the electorate wanted? Is this what the electorate wanted in the way that they voted? Or is this, I don't know, a matter of the interpretation of the moment, as it were? Did we as voters force what we are now seeing to happen, or is this a creation of the political parties? And to what extent, then, can we still imagine what you're talking about, the involvement of communities, of the electorate in the governance of their municipalities, when we have these kinds of political arrangements?
I think that's a big idea to play around with. So I'll try to answer it as best as I can. Look, I think you actually touched on it. For me, I always make the argument that no voter goes to the ballot box and says, listen, I am voting for a thing called a coalition. So I think we can take that off the board. I think what the numbers tell us, and again, the issue is rather the ones who didn't vote, and also the ones who voted, is... Voters, whether voting or not, I think they wanted something different, right? They wanted to humble a lot of these political parties, number one being the African National Congress, and secondly, the DA to a certain front, and also humble the EFF and say, listen, you're not really as big as you think you really are in reality.
Mm.
And they also wanted to uplift a few parties to say, let's see what you can do. Right? So I think that's how it plays out. Now, in terms of the operation side of local government, I think this is where... And I'm going to make the argument that I think we as a whole, as a society, have been very poor at conceiving and operationalizing local government. And when I keep saying, how do communities get involved? There's this thing called ward-based committees. Before the election, I had to go through, I think, most of the Gauteng ones, the IDPs, where they tell you how many times have ward committees. And ward committees compose of, it's your street, it's people on your street, it's the business person, and certain elected representative within your area. But basically, as a citizen, you've got a right to attend. But what we've seen in this is that there's actually very little participation from communities.
Mm.
And I always ask this to my students, or even when you're doing training, is, do you know your counselor? And I can say without a doubt, 80 or 70% of the people I train, these are people who are either in government, private sector, they will tell you, yeah, not really. 80% will say, I don't know. And then others will say, I've heard of that name. So for me, that's the problem, is that we don't know our counselors.
Yeah.
So when I say making this a community-based thing, I say the first step we do is to say, whether you like it or not, you've got a councillor. That's what the elections have produced. But then the second thing is that when we are living on our street and we see a problem, I get that you can toy and it's good to do that. But the point is, have we actually then made the call to say, hey, you, Mr. Councillor, because if you go to the IEC app, you put in your ID and where you live, they'll give you who your councillor is.
Yeah.
as a street committee, as a street, we are calling you to account. Come speak to us. And I think that's what I mean by community saying. It's a very basic and practical thing. Mm. Now, how this is going to play out in the next 5 years, because there's an absence of a winner-take-all, I think we're going to see what we saw in the city of Tshwane and the city of Johannesburg. That, and also, it's too, I think there's a Nelson Mandela Bay, where every week is going to be a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's going to be a series. Somebody's ego is going to be bruised. They're going to threaten and say, we're going to take our vote away. And then the DA will say, but we never asked for your vote. You gave it to us regardless. So the fault is yours. There'll be a press conference called at 12 o'clock to explain. We're not voting for them. We're not in a formal coalition. What we're doing is fancy English because they've got a lawyer who will give them all these fancy terminologies. And this is what we're going to see for the next 5 years. And I believe the loser is going to be us as citizens, because this is the sad thing about local government. Unlike national, which can literally work on autopilot, local government needs things to be signed. And the Constitution and the Municipal Systems Act means that people need to be accountable for. So unless we see, the only game changer I see is leadership. Unless we see proper leadership from these political parties, where I think Sanusha puts it, when people put their egos aside and say, listen, Aubrey, you and I don't get along. You wear a blue overall, I wear a purple overall. But for the purposes of making sure that this road and this infrastructure works, let's sign the deal. And also, listen, you want to go put more money in informal areas. I need to service people that are paying. How do we break the difference? And for that to happen, that's leadership. And I always stand by this. In South Africa, we've got a lot of people in position, but we've got very few leaders.
Mm.
And I think that's what needs to change.
Give me a call and let me know whether the levels of maturity that Dr. Kagiso Puwe is talking about actually exist in our political spaces. Yeah, do we have the levels of responsibility, magnanimity, the spirit of leadership that he's talking about? Or are we going to be seeing the soap operas that many, many of us are hoping won't happen, but anticipate will happen? Masilo is in Midrand. Hi, Masilo.
Hi, Bra Ops. Good day.
Good day to you, Masilo. Good to hear you during the day.
Yes, yes. Ops. My point is just 2 points.
Yeah.
Is that the era of coalitions is going to be with us.
Yeah.
For a time, and maybe going forward. Now, we as the community, as the doctor was saying, we need now to draw up an agenda for a coalition. Why I'm saying that is because, you know, our history was the winner takes all, and the winning party will influence the public service. And this deteriorated our public service to be not professional. If you have a blue overall, you get the quick attention, a red overall, and so forth.
Yeah.
And this, I was saying to your producer, that this permeates, it comes from the top, and it affects also the public, I mean, the local issues. Now, the coalitions must go back to the drawing board and say, we need to have a structure that is professional, that is above political influence to serve the people. And maybe that's where the doctor is talking about community base.
Yeah.
But we must define it. It must be professional, a public sector that's professional, above the influence of politics.
Yeah.
That's one. Two is that also the structures. You are talking of other structures. I'm not familiar with the structures like the SOEs in the local government. Those also must be drawn from professional bodies. In other words, if you are in a board of some sort, you must be coming from a professional body delegated you to be in that board. Why I'm saying that is because you then have a lot to lose, because these things are 5 years. So you don't want your 5 years to lose your chartered accountant, professional, or whatever level that body is. And that's what this coalition must deliver. The egos and all these other things, they are really not an issue.
Yeah.
What is it that these coalitions must deliver?
Masilo in Midrand, much appreciated. We're going to take a quick break. We continue our conversation with our political analysts, Sanusha Naidu and Kagiso Puwe. And the question I'll be asking Sanusha is, what is available to us as the citizenry of this country to deal decisively with the possibility of non or dysfunctional municipalities as a result of egos. What is available to us? What can we do? I'm interested to hear from you on 011-883-0702 after this.
Because some journeys are better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
It is 8 minutes to midday, and Sanusha Naidu and Kagiso Buwe are my guest. Sanusha, I think a lot of people do anticipate the drama in the chambers that Kagiso Buwe was talking about, that there's going to be all sorts of motions of no confidence to humiliate, to score political points, whatever the case may be, when the reality at the moment is that we need stable, functional, service-delivering governance, right? And as Kagiso said, that most of that will happen as a result of ego-driven sort of behaviors. How do we get protected against that as the citizenry? Because yes, the politics can be entertaining, intriguing, and all of that kind of stuff, but we still need governance. We need government to govern instead of just showing us the theatrics. How do we get protected from that?
That's a tough one, Aubrey, because I think from past experiences, when you look at Nelson Mandela Bay, you look at other municipalities where it was about, you know, really whether you were objecting to something because you believed that it was genuinely not in the interest of the citizens or the community that you are representing in a municipality at the ward, or you were doing it because you just felt that you needed to be obstructionist and obstinate. And I think that's the problem. The point about people having the power in those municipalities to be able to say, well, I got power now and I can be obstructionist. Not because you really want to be obstructionist, or you start using the law or citing different sections of the local municipality act and saying you can't do this, you can't do that. And we saw that in the run-up to a few of these hung municipalities, which particularly in Itegwini, you know, around the ANC taking somebody from another party into their executive list. And I think these are the things that make the electorate frustrated. The point of call, and how do we actually protect ourselves from this? I'm not sure what it is unless we ourselves as citizens are able to kind of say, well, we're going to start using our collective value system, our collective power within the communities to start saying, we want to basically get the ward councillor here. If you're a ward councillor, you live in my ward, and you are in the same, you're in the party that is either, you know, in the position they, whether in a mayoral position or you're in the council, we need you to start thinking about us. I don't know how much more we can go to protect this, the citizens, because at the end of the day, the problem is that the accountability to citizens tends to be forgotten when these individuals are in power and in these positions. So I think the last point I want to make on this one is perhaps it's to reevaluate the electoral model and not complicate the electoral model because it becomes complicated between the PR system, the ward system, and then of course you end up in a situation where sometimes the PR council councillor is not in the same, is not the same person that is in terms of where they need to be. So this connection between the councillor in the community to the political party in the council has to be much more open, transparent, and we have to see them visibly in our communities.
Sanusha Naidu, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning, as I want to thank Kagiso Buwe for joining us this evening. This morning, I appreciate your time. Kagiso, so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Much appreciated. Sanusha, thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated.